Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. This is from the NASB. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Give us a revelation and understanding. We invite you, Holy Spirit, this morning. God, bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here in Hebrews 13, it begins with verse 1 saying, let love of the brethren continue. In other words, different translations, let brotherly love continue. And this word love, translated in the Greek, is the word phileo. As you know, there are many different words for love in the Greek. This particular one is phileo. And so it says, let love, phileo love of your brothers and sisters continue. Verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Hospitality is an important virtue back in scriptural times. And so it's saying, it's assuming that you have been showing hospitality, and it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained strangers. In the ancient world, there are motels, very few of them, but these motels had a bad reputation. They existed and were notorious for immorality, as you can imagine. Things haven't changed. You know, there are motels here that are notorious for immorality, and most of the motels in the ancient world were known for that. So the primary way of traveling for Christians were to find homes of other Christians that they can stay in. And this was simply a practical way to show this phileo love to one another. And so when the writer is saying, let phileo love continue, he's saying, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And so this is a practical way to show hospitality, practical way to show brotherly phileo love by entertaining strangers. Now, this concept of strangers, showing hospitality to strangers, if you invite your best friend over to stay with you, that's wonderful. I mean, that's just great. But it doesn't fulfill this command. It doesn't fulfill this concept of phileo love. It doesn't fulfill this concept of showing hospitality to strangers. That's great. That's wonderful. You should. But this hospitality is showing opening your homes and serving strangers, things like that. In fact, in the Greek word, that word for hospitality is usually translated love for strangers. And so we've taken hospitality, you know, as something as just being open and inviting people in and things like that. But we don't even realize that the root of the word hospitality is actually love for strangers, for those who we don't know. And so we've kind of have to reform our understanding of what hospitality is. It's, you know, we have a hospitality ministry, and we serve coffee and serve food, and that's great. But the focus of that word or the idea of hospitality is towards strangers, to those that we don't know. And strangers, I mean, you know, in our society world today, we kind of have a negative connotation of strangers, you know, because we tell our kids, don't talk to strangers, you know, because strangers are bad people. That's not the concept of strangers in scriptures. Strangers simply are people that you don't know. Obviously, not everyone can be trusted. We live in an evil world. We live in a world where harm is done to others, to children, things like that. Understand that. But, you know, so we have this mindset of strangers are bad people. No, strangers simply, by definition, is just people we don't know. And so when you're showing hospitality to strangers, you are fulfilling this law, this concept, this principle of letting phileo love continue among you. But then it says, for by this some have entertained angels, things like this. when we entertain, or excuse me, when we demonstrate hospitality to those we don't know, strangers, as we say, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. If you remember Matthew 25, the passage, whatever you do, the least of these, you do unto me. It says, when you've invited strangers in, you've invited me, Jesus is saying. You know, when you've clothed the naked, you do it unto me. When you invite strangers in, you've invited me. And so when we fulfill this, we are actually inviting Christ into our homes, Christ into our lives. And even, you know, if you remember Abraham and Lot, that story where they were being hospitable to these strangers, and they were actually angels. And so, you know, not that's something that we would probably go around looking for, like, oh, you know, are you an angel? You know, every stranger that you see at SP is like, hey, are you an angel? You know, and they might say yes, and great. In any case, but the point is, as you welcome strangers, you're actually welcoming in Christ. And so I think that's something not to consider lightly. Jesus, in his own words, in red letters, depending on your Bible, says, when you entertain strangers, when you welcome strangers in, you are welcoming me. And so the writer of Hebrews continues to emphasize this point. Do not neglect to show hospitality for strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Verse 3, remember the prisoner as though in prison with them. Stronger language, this being translated in stronger language, is saying, remember the prisoner as if you are the prisoner. Remember the prisoner and feel as if you are the prisoner and all those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. And so you see this line of let love continue, show hospitality to strangers, remember the prisoners. Once again, this is another way to show brotherly love, another way to show brotherly love, to another way to let phileo love to continue. And so you have these sort of three commands, you know, let love continue, hospitality of strangers, remember the prisoners, and now it talks about marriage that's to be held in high honor, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. God will judge fornicators and adulterers and things like this. And so now it talks about another relational thing. And we're going to get to the end of verse 5 and see sort of the pattern here. As we go to verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Be free from the love of money. This idea of contentment, the writer is saying, look, we need to be content. Paul reemphasizes that in Philippians. For I know what it is to be in want, what I know it is to be in plenty. I'm content in all circumstances. You know, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. All those things, and so it's reiterated and reemphasized to be content. Contentment has a lot more. If you look at your life and you ask yourself, you know, how content are you in your life? How satisfied are you? I think, you know, there's a new Apple announcement next Tuesday. The new iPhone is coming out, and people once again are going to stand in line, you know, for iPhone 5S or whatever it's going to be. I myself have been contemplating, you know, should I get that? And I have to stop and ask, why do I even want that? I have a perfectly good phone. It serves me well. Why would I even want this new iPhone that comes out? Why do we want these new things when we have existing things and, you know, they serve us fine? And you have to realize that it's a heart issue. Why do you want these new things? Why do you want an upgrade? It's a heart issue. You know, because you're not satisfied with what you have, you are wanting more. The Bible calls that greed. You know, that we have to examine our heart for greed. But then we rationalize it away that, no, it's ambition. You know, I have high ambitions. You know, I want to accomplish a lot in my life. I've got a lot of ambition. You know, I want to move forward. I want to be, you know, progressive, things like that. Well, it's fine. You can call it whatever you want. But if you examine your heart, that maybe the reasons why we're not content is because there's greed, that we're not satisfied. Contentment has more to do with who you are on the inside rather than what you have in your hands. Contentment has more to do with who you are than what you have. You look at people and they're constantly getting the new things or getting new clothes, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But contentment is more about who you are than what you actually have. And people think that if I have more, then they'll be more content. I feel that way. You know, if I had a little bit more money, I'll be content and I'll be satisfied. If I had a retina screen instead of a regular screen, you know, if I have HD TV instead of regular TV, you know, I'll be more content and more happy and things like that. If I have more and more and more, that will be content. But that's more of a heart issue, that it's more about who you are. Contentment is not getting what you want, but being satisfied with what you have. And so, because we all know in our pursuit of getting more and more, we get it and we're still not happy. That's why we want more. You know, I mentioned either yesterday or the day before how my son constantly wants to get new apps and new games. You know, every day, you know, can you download this? Can you download this? And I'm constantly saying no, 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 because he's not content with his Angry Birds right now. You know, he's sick and tired of Angry Birds. Angry Birds is a great game, you know. I'm just concerned that he'll discover Candy Crush and then it'll be all over, you know. And you know, but these are suitable, these are fine, but he wants more because he's not happy with what he has. You know, I think maybe I have to have a sit-down talk with him and say, son, you know, where's your heart? You know, son, you know, your heart is in the wrong place. You know, you need, it's not about getting more apps and playing more games. You have to be content with what you have. Be blessed. Anyways, but let's move on to what I really want to talk about is verse 5 at the end. For he himself has said, I will never desert you or leave you. I will never forsake you. So aren't these beautiful words, comforting words? You know, Jesus said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you, things like that. You know, and so we hold on to that. But I want you to remember what the writer is saying in the context of when he's saying it. He's not just saying a general blanket statement, though it is true, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, but there's strings attached. There's conditions attached to this whole thing. If you remember Matthew 28, where Jesus originally says it, you know, I'm with you to the end of the age, you know, I'll never leave you and forsake you. What is the context of that? He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you. This is the condition. He's saying, I'm going to be with you if you fulfill these commands and fulfill the laws that I've asked you to do. If you go and make disciples, I'm going to be with you. And here the writer's trying to reemphasize, look, if you continue love, if you continue this phileo love by showing hospitality to strangers, remembering the prisoners, keeping the marriage bed honorable, if you do these things, if you are free from the love of money and being content with what you have, I will be with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will help you in these things. I will be there for you. You know, a lot of times, you know, we hold on to these promises in the wrong context, in the sense that, you know, God, I'm gonna pursue this job, and it involves, you know, maybe immoral things. But hey, I'm. You said you're gonna be with me, right? You know, I'm having difficulty with my spouse, and you know, I'm just doing wrong things. You're gonna be with me, right? That's what your word says, right? And so we take the promises of God and the word of God out of context. But in this context, he's saying, look, let love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Let filial love continue. And remember, out of these four sort of characteristics, three of them are relational again. Hospitality to strangers, remember the prisoners, marriage. And then it says, be content with all you have, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? We love to say, oh, God, you promised me this. God, I expected this from you. God, you're the giver of good and perfect gifts. You know, and God is, he is, but we have to realize that these promises have conditions and strings attached to it. And so, you know, or if you remember in Romans 8, it says God knows, God causes all things to work together for good. Right? God causes all things to work together for good. That means every sinful, every difficult, every bad thing that I'm involved in, God's going to turn around and turn into good? No. He says, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. Once again, he's going to cause for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who are letting him work in his life, for those who loves him, those who follows him, then he's going to cause all things to work for good for the brokenness in your life, for the tragedies in your life, for the difficulties in your life. Then he's going to cause it for good. There's a condition to that. And so this morning I want to encourage you that the Lord will not leave you. He will not desert you and He will not forsake you. And that's a promise. But there's some things that He's asking us to fulfill the law of Christ. And these things are relational. These are things that are community focused. These things are, you know, He's reemphasizing things that we already know in verse 3, remember the prisoners. He's already said that in Matthew 25. To show hospitality to strangers. And so this morning, I want us to meditate on this idea that God is not going to leave you nor forsake you, but He's asked us to do things that will fulfill those things. When you do these things, He will never leave you or forsake you. When you do fulfill the law of Christ, He promises He will never leave you nor forsake you. We can't just sit here and just live our lives in immorality, in sin, in apathy, and say, oh God, You're going to be with me as we pursue our own pleasures, our own selfish desires, as we pursue our own flesh. You're going to be with me, right God? No, He's not going to be with you to satisfy the sinfulness of your flesh. He's going to be with you if you fulfill the law of Christ. And so let's meditate on that this morning as I ask Monica to come. And as we prepare for worship, maybe it's a time of repentance for us where, you know, we are self-indulging ourselves in our flesh, where we're just wanting to pursue our flesh and pursuing our own ambition and things like that. And we assume that Christ is going to be with us in those things. And no, He will be with us for sure, but He will be with us when we fulfill the law of Christ. So are we showing hospitality to strangers? One thing that SP has been amazing about is doing that. People come into Hong Kong from all over the world and they need places to stay, and we are very quick to open our doors, open our homes to those we've never met that we don't even know. Very quick to do that. And I know that pleases the Lord because we are not neglecting showing hospitality to strangers. And may you receive a deposit of blessing as you do that. Never desert you, never forsake you. So Lord, may we be content with what we have, not greedy. God, may we continue to pursue these relationships of hospitality, and Lord, may we continue to visit those who are imprisoned and feel what they feel, for Lord, You feel what they felt. So God, we just want to honor You and we want to hold on to Your truth. We bless Your name. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
it's you.
Shield. And Father, we just want to lift up those who are sick in our community. God, we just pray that you do great and mighty things through their lives. And so let's pray for them, those who are struggling with cancer and they have been struggling for a long time. Let's continue to be faithful as God is faithful. And as the names come up on the screen, let's just pray for those who are struggling. Let's pray. Yesterday, Chelsea's name was added. She's just going in for a checkup, and we're praying that it won't be. So please don't misunderstand that she has. But we're praying that that her checkup will be fine and it will be benign and not malignant. So let's pray for those who are sick but need Jesus and don't have salvation. And let's continue to pray fervently for salvation for our loved ones. For we were once lost, but someone has prayed us through into the kingdom. And so let's pray for them, especially now that they're struggling with cancer and sickness. So let's pray for them. Pray for those who are struggling with different sicknesses and infirmities and illnesses. Let's ask the Lord to heal them. Let's ask the Lord to give them grace and comfort during this painful, difficult time. So let's pray right now. Thank you. Let's pray for those looking for work, and let's ask for God to come quickly. As let's ask the Lord to provide and give grace to those who are struggling financially. So let's lift them up in prayer. Let's now pray for our mission focus for today, and it is North Korea, South Korea, Japan, and we've added Bangladesh for Anil at CSW, who's going there, and the political situation is quite rough and tense right now, and so we want to pray over his protection. For North Korea, for the gospel to go forth, let's pray for Chris and other servants there. Let's pray that they would have a community, that they would not be burnt out and not give up. For North Korea is very close to his heart. Let's pray for South Korea and just the future of SP there, as God is strategically bringing people to South Korea. Let's ask the Lord to bless that. Let's pray for Japan. As you know, it's one of the most difficult countries in regards to the gospel. Let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu, and let's pray for our servants and missionaries there. And let's pray for Bangladesh, as I mentioned. Let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for the intercessory prayer team and Matt. Let's pray for the well and Ricky, and let's pray for Cascade and Rachel. They're the leaders leading those ministries. Let's pray for hospitality ministries. How fitting. Let's pray for welcoming and Barista ministry, that we would entertain strangers and entertain angels. Let's entertain people who are new, and let's ask the Lord to bless these ministries. Let's cover them in prayer. Pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for Senior Pastor Choi. Let's pray for their unity. Let's pray for their growth. Let's pray that they make an impact in the Korean community here in Hong Kong. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, and we just want to seek your face, God. Lord, we want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, And Lord, we thank you that all these things would be given to us as well. And so, Father, we just want to honor you. God, we bless your name. Thank you for your love. And thank you for the hospitality you've shown us, that we were once strangers. And now you've accepted us in. And God, so we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you to stay and pray and seek his face. May you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. And we'll see you tomorrow.